Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Amen. Hey, grab your Bibles and go with me we're going to go to the book of John, a New Testament book. As you're turning there, we're going to go and dismiss all of the elementary kids to their middle school. My bad, the elementary kids are over there. Middle school, all the middle school kids. We have a great class prepared. It's going to be awesome. So if you're in that, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, this is for you, and it's going to be awesome. And head on out there. But the rest of us, we're going to go to the book of John, John chapter 6, New Testament, and we're going to continue our series entitled Rooted. I believe we're in week 7 of this series. If you want some notes, you can lift up your hand and we'll get those to you, or if you like doing the digital format, you can text APP to 858-943-2221. But I believe we're about 7 weeks in, which means that we have this week and like 3 more weeks, and then we'll conclude this. And then we'll be going into our holiday series. Doesn't that sound crazy? It's already almost time for the holidays. Anybody excited for the holidays? Half of you. If you need to get excited for the holidays, just go to Home Depot or Costco and walk through that section there, and it'll get you excited. I was walking through Costco the other day, and I saw a 12-foot Christmas tree. And if a 12-foot Christmas tree doesn't get you in the mood, I don't know what does. I don't know who can have that in their house, but... it's just awesome. So that's coming up. So we'll start our holiday series. We've got about 3 more weeks of this. And here's what we're talking about. Here's the big idea of Rooted. As we've been talking about it, not only on Sunday mornings, but how many of you guys are a part of a Rooted small group throughout the week? Yeah. And some great things happening through that. And a good portion of us are. But here's the big idea. That we're talking about being rooted in Christ. And I'm going to read this for you. I think it's in your notes. Rooted is about going back to the basics of what it means to be a Christ follower, or a follower of Christ, meaning a disciple, and discovering a life of fulfillment. Now, that last part is something I added for this week. You know, that first part has been there every weekend as we talked about it, but I want to read it again because I want you to catch this last part. Rooted is about going back to the basics, and we've talked about that, right? Prayer, it's a basic. Worship, it's a basic. Getting into the Word, being able to share your story with somebody else. Tonight, outreach, serving our community. Come on, it's going to be awesome. It's some of the basics of what it means to be rooted into Christ, because Christ is just flowing out of us as we're rooted in Him. But then there's this last part, and discovering a life of fulfillment. I believe this with all my heart, that the most rewarding, fulfilling life is a life that's rooted in Christ Jesus. A life that understands who Christ is, what He did for us, and what it means for us today, and then how we can walk that out. The most rewarding, fulfilling life is a life rooted in Christ Jesus. That's why I believe with all my heart that as a Christ follower, one of the great things we do is we root ourselves into a local church. That we find the church that God would have us be planted in, and that we would just throw our whole life into whatever's going on there and see Christ glorified in and through us and in and through our gifts. Because when you're rooted in Christ, it's the most rewarding and fulfilling thing. Here's the idea, though, that a lot of us might think that we need something else to find fulfillment, right? Like I'm not going to be completely fulfilled until I find the one and I get married, right? And then you find the one and you got married and you're like, did I marry the right one? Right? Because I don't necessarily feel fulfilled like I thought I was going to. Or if I had that one job, if I only got that one job, man, then my life would have meaning and fulfillment. And then you get the job and then you have an employer or a boss and you're like, man, this isn't the job I thought I wanted, right? Or maybe it's like if I had the pay raise. I mean, let's be honest, that's a big one, right? Money's a big one in our culture, in the whole world. And we think that, and I've had these conversations with people before that find themselves in a particular situation or circumstance, that if I just had enough money, if I had more money, if my paycheck was more and whatnot, that maybe I'd be more fulfilled. I mean, the list could go on and on and on, but it's interesting that a study was done back in 2010 by Princeton to discover at what level of financial income do people need in order to find fulfillment. And now this study, and obviously numbers have changed a little bit since 2010, we're 11 years, you know, further along, but they found that the place of fulfillment was if you could make right around $75,000. Anything above that, their life wasn't as rich and rewarding. Think about that for a moment. Because a lot of us think that if we added more things to our life, and particularly more finances to our life, then we would become more fulfilled. Here's the reality with money, though, is you're living in this house, you get more money, you move into a bigger house, and so the financial picture really stays the same. Your debt just increased along with your income, right, if we're honest. And so this study then was taken actually recently in 2020, and here's what they found. They found that people who made $105K more, their happiness levels decreased. Now, I know you're sitting there thinking, nah, Pastor, if I made $105K, I would be, like, good. Like, I'd things would be great. Now, I don't know how many people, I didn't dig too deep into it, I don't know how many people they studied, but this was something they found across the board. There were four different studies done, and the similar thing was found, meaning this, that our fulfillment doesn't come from what we possess. It doesn't come from possessions. It's not going to happen with a nicer house. It's not going to happen with a nicer car. It's not going to happen with better income. It's not going to happen in a different neighborhood. It's not going to happen when you move to a different city or a different state. It's not going to happen when you change from this church to that church. Here's the thing, as a pastor, I wrestle with these things in much like somebody else would in the sphere of influence they have. That if I feel more fulfilled on a Sunday because every chair is filled, then my heart's not right. If I don't find fulfillment in Christ and Christ alone, then you will be chasing something all your life. Are you with me? And here's what I've discovered is that God has invited us into a fulfilling life. He's invited us into a life with Him. A life of abundance, a life of challenges, yes. But as long as we're rooted in Him, I believe that, it's a life of fulfillment. Here's why I believe that. It's because when you partner your life with what God is doing, anything is possible. When you partner your life with what God is doing, anything is possible. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Luke 18:27, what's impossible with man is possible with God. I want to talk to you for the next few moments about a fulfilling life or a fulfilled life. Go with me again to John chapter 6, 1 through 13. John chapter 6, 1 through 13. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, and then we'll bring some other translations into this to paint a full picture. But John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Are you there? All right, here we go. Verse 1. After this, after what? What's taking place? Let me just catch you up real quick. After what? Jesus has sent the disciples out on a ministry trip, pairs them up, sends them out. They're out doing good. They're preaching the gospel, and they're literally gone for days, out preaching in the towns and in the villages, sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. While that's going on, Jesus has one of his relatives, John, beheaded. He's murdered. And so this is the context in which chapter 6, verse 1 is written. After what? After all of the disciples have come back from this missions trip. Anybody ever been on a missions trip before? You come back a little tired, you come back a little exhausted, but you also come back riding on this kind of spiritual high and remembering all the things that God did through you. It's this great feeling, but yet there's this exhaustion as well. Jesus here, though, he's on a different kind of emotional place right here. He's coming out of this place where his relative has just been murdered, okay, beheaded. And now they meet back up. John chapter 6, verse 1. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went. Why did Jesus cross to the far side? As you study this out, most people would believe that he was taking his disciples to get away for a little R&R. Right? Like, just get away for a moment. You came back from this missions trip. I'm dealing with some personal trauma in my own life. You got to know Jesus, the Son of God. The Bible tells us that he walked through all the same emotions you and I do on this earth today. And so he's dealing with the loss. He's dealing with the death. They're exhausted. He wanted to pull away. That's why they went to the far side and they want to get away. But a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Now, if you take Matthew's and Mark's and Luke's account, it actually talks about how Jesus preached to them, okay? So in the middle of what he's dealing with, he took time to preach to them. Turning to Philip, one of the disciples, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed these people?" Verse 6, I want you to highlight it. He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd?" And Jesus replied, verse 10, "Tell everyone to sit down." So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000, which would tell us there was way more than 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. I'm going to read a little further. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is a prophet we have been expecting." When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped out of the hills by himself. Let me pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, I pray in the next few moments that we have together that, Lord, you would speak to us. God, that you would cause this section of scripture to come alive to each and every one. God, that through it we would see that there is a fulfilling life found in you. God, that through it we would see maybe some of the errors in our own life that are keeping us from walking in that fulfillment. And God, most importantly, we would see the invitation by you to come partner with you to live this absolutely amazing life. So God, I pray in the next few moments that God, you'd help me create a place for people to encounter your son Jesus, know your incredible love, and realize the amazing plan that you have for him. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Over the last couple weeks, for those of us that have been in Rooted, you've been going through these devotions, which don't take a long time, but they've been really good. And I came across one the other day, and so some of you have heard this, some of you others that haven't been able to do the devotions may have not, but there was a story in there, and it was about an elephant and a mouse. How many of you guys remember that story about the elephant and mouse? Some of you read that. And so this elephant and this mouse, they're on one side of this bridge, and they need to cross the bridge together. And so they begin to cross this bridge. And the elephant man just kind of like taking step after step, just thumping along at his pace. But the mouse, being so much smaller, is just scurrying along right between his legs, running with him. But he's running at a fast pace, right, because he's trying to keep up with the elephant. They get to the other side, and all of a sudden the little mouse looks up at the elephant and says, "Man, did you feel all the rumble we created on that bridge?" This little mouse. The elephant kind of looks at him and smiles, right? Like, yeah, we did that. We did that together. Now, here's the thing. All of us could watch that scene play out and realize the reason that the bridge is shaking and trembling and swaying has nothing to do with the mouse, has everything to do with the elephant that's walking with the mouse. Are you with me? You see, the same thing happens in the kingdom of God. That when we run with our own ambition and our own initiative and our own will and our own strength and our own thing, we're nothing more than just a little mouse scurrying across a bridge. But when we run in the path with God and we go the direction that God is going and we partner ourselves and all of our gifts and all of our talents and all that he's given us with what he's doing, man, we make some things shake. We make some things tremble, don't we? We make some things quake. And see, this is the whole idea behind John chapter 6. John chapter 6, Jesus looking at his disciples, knowing that he just sent them out. Other translations would actually kind of capture some of the stories that were told, or other passages in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. They would capture some of the stories that were told, that they would come back and share these stories and what took place. But the reason they had this influence, the reason they had this power when they went out is because they were doing what God told them to do. And they come back and they're tired from a missions trip. Jesus himself is in a place where he is mourning the loss of his own relative. And they're trying to pull away. But as they try to pull away, man, the crowds just continue to follow them. Now, I want you to know something, that over the last 7 weeks, as I've been praying and seeking God, as we've been going through this rooted experience, I've been praying for more than just, God, give me a word that goes along with the devotionals. Give me a word that goes along with the theme of that week. I've been praying, saying, God, would you give me a word that literally captures and embodies where we are as a church? Maybe some things that we have walked through and that we're coming out of and some places that you're taking us to. And I believe that Canvas Church, I can't speak to every church, and so if you're visiting today, check it out, just lean in. But as far as Canvas Church is concerned, we've been through some stuff. And we've walked through some difficult challenges over the last 18, 19, 20 months, and I'm sure many others have as well, but I'm not pastoring those churches, I'm pastoring this one. And we've walked through some stuff, and maybe we feel a little bit like the disciples. Man, I remember there was times when this whole pandemic first hit, and we were just like, how do we continue to be church in this environment? And there were moments, man, because you would see what came out on Sunday morning on the video. How many guys stuck with us and watched the videos on Sunday morning? The rest of you didn't raise your hand. Shame on you. The good thing is they're archived, and you can go back and watch them. You missed out on some good stuff. But we would come in on a Thursday night. We would come in and we would do our pursuit night where we would worship and we would live feed that. And then we would be praying live and worshiping live. And people be tuning in. And it was some great times. And then right after that, we would literally record some stuff for Sunday morning if we didn't do it live on Sunday morning. And there would be a group of like six, seven, eight of us, the band. And we would get up and worship like there were people worshiping along with us. And then I would get up and I would preach to all of these empty chairs. Now, is anybody in here a communicator? Like you can communicate with people? Nobody? Okay. All right. But it is difficult at times trying to preach when you're looking at empty chairs. And sometimes I would beg the worship team to stay. Guys, just stay, please. I'll buy you dinner. I'll buy you coffee. Just stay, right? And man, there were moments where I was just like, man, are we being effective? Are we being influential? I just want to like, can we just call this thing and figure it out later, you know? We've been through some stuff. We've had some great people transition out. We've had some new people transition in. We've shared the stories. Here's the thing, we've been through some stuff. And there was moments that, man, I just felt tired. I felt exhausted. And even though Jesus is experiencing in this passage like the death of someone naturally, I felt like, man, there was just the death of a vision at times, the death of a dream, the death of friendships, relationships, leaders within the church, and what's taking place. And man, these emotions are there. And so maybe like me, you can relate a little bit to what the disciples are feeling right here as they're just trying to get a little R&R, right? So they just want to hang out with their mentor. They want to hang out with Jesus. Talk about the trip, and all of a sudden the crowd comes, and it's in that moment where Jesus begins to pull them back. Look at what it says. What Jesus does, he does to test them. Do you see that? He does to test them. And in this moment, I have to believe that Jesus, even walking through what he was walking through, knowing the disciples just came off of this, man, this has been a long whatever it's been, you know, that he wants to bring them back to what it's all about. That he wants to remind them that the most fulfilling, rewarding life, man, is a life partnered with him. It's a life partnered with Jesus. I love this. And it says right here that, man, all they had was some loaves and some fish, and it wasn't enough to feed. Jesus already knows that there's not gonna be enough food to feed them. But I love it because he says, he did this to test Philip. He did this to test the disciples. What was the test? The test was, hey, look, are you going to trust me? Are you going to continue to trust me, to believe me? Are you going to try to operate in your own strength? Are you going to try to operate in your own ambition, your own ability, or are you going to trust me? Because Jesus himself knew what he was about to do. He didn't need to ask the question of Philip. He could have done everything we read in this passage. Jesus could have done without testing any of them. He could have simply said, hey guys, we're going to feed him. Could you just tell him to sit down and let's go? But there's this principle here. It's the test. Now know this, that if you serve Jesus long enough, you will hit moments in your life where you will be tested. You will be tested. You will be tested. And here's the thing. Here's where I always see it in my life. Maybe you haven't seen this in your life, or maybe you haven't drawn the same conclusion I have. That oftentimes what happens is God will speak to me, whether it's through his word or just in a devotional time, and he will give me some moments of clarity, and then I will begin to vocalize that. Let's just rewind for a moment. For those of you that have been on this journey for a while with us, and I can only use the stories and analogies I personally have. But there was a time when we were in a theater, and man, it was those were, how many guys remember the theater days? Anybody remember the theater days? Yeah, those were awesome. You weren't on pack up, clearly. That's right. Like, yeah, those were awesome. Says you weren't on the setup and pack up. And God opens up this door for this building. And so, man, we challenge the church together and we pray about it. And man, it was a miracle story, still is a miracle story. That in 9 weeks, our church of about 250, 275 maybe at the time, raised $250,000 in 9 weeks. You were a part of that, many of you. That's a miracle story. Matter of fact, I had leaders coming to me, Pastor, like, I'm on board with you, but I got to be honest with you. I look around at the church and I think, how are we going to do that? And I'm like, I don't know. And I probably read some of these same passages, stood up there on a Sunday morning full of faith. Man, if we just give God what we have, he'll bless it and, you know, make it more. And inside I'm like, God, I really hope you'll do that. Right? And somehow, some way, man, our church, man, was able to raise $250,000 in 9 weeks. And man, afterwards, those same people that came to say, I didn't think we'd be able to do it. Same, I watched the miracle continue to unfold and unfold and unfold and unfold. And then I was dumb enough to stand up here in those first few weeks and declare, man, it was a miracle that got us in here. It's going to be a miracle that keeps us in here. And I declared that over our church. And guess what I've discovered? That God will test us in the very thing that we declare that we believe. And if I was a smart pastor, I'd stop declaring things. Clearly, I'm not the smartest, all right? Like, I mean, literally, it's like literally I declare that, and the first year is just like, boom, and then a pandemic, and I'm like, wow. And then God's just like, don't you remember it's going to be a miracle that keeps you in here? And I'm talking with God like, God, that was just a great story to tell on Sunday morning. Like, I'm just trying to build the people's faith. I didn't really mean it. I don't really want it. I just want to, you know. Right? You do the same thing in your life, right? And I found that God will test us, but here's the great thing about this God that tests us. The God that tests us is such a good God. How many of you guys remember back in school and you had tests? Right? And I don't know about you, but I don't like tests. Like, I'll go and I'll learn and you just tell me stuff. That's all I need. Kind of like most of us on a Sunday morning. We don't want to be tested in what we're talking about on Sunday morning. Right? But he's a good teacher. All good teachers give tests. But my favorite teachers were the ones that would like, hey, it's open book test. Right? How many guys had a professor that said, hey, it's not only open book, it's open friend test, right? And so on those days, my best friend was the smartest person in the class. Can't remember their name, but on that day, come on, somebody, they were my best friend. Hey, let's sit together. Why? It's test day, you know? Or the ones that would say, hey, you can get a 3x5 card, and as much as you write on that 3x5 card, you can take to the test. I'm telling you, one of my daughters can write microscopic. I remember it was my youngest, and all of a sudden I'm like, what are you doing? And I mean, I couldn't even read it. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, well, the teacher said that everything we write on this 3x5 card, we can take to the test. And I'm like, that's the whole entire class. And she's like, I know. You know what? We serve a God that has given us more than a 3x5 card. We serve a God that has given us page after page after page after page after page that is full of miracles, that is full of stories of people that have walked through some tough times and some tough circumstances, and all of a sudden we can read and be like, whoa, they came out of it, and it's written so that you can be admonished, you can be encouraged, you can be strengthened, and you can be equipped. Here's my advice to you. Take the 3x5 card with you wherever you go. Not only did he do that, he said, hey, it's open friend, Holy Spirit. Hello. He said, I'm going to give you a helper, the Holy Spirit, that will be with you, and he will teach you, and he will guide you and instruct you in all things. So I tell you that to tell you this, that you will face a test in your life, but you will surely pass the test as long as you have the Word of God and as long as you have the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter what you're going to face, what you're going to go through. So you know what? Man, y'all made some crazy declarations. There are times still where I'm kind of like, man, how are we going to do this? And all of a sudden I hear the Holy Spirit say, hey, it's going to be a miracle that'll keep you there. Dang it. Here they come back from this big missions trip riding high. I believe that Jesus wanted to test their heart. Say, let's bring this back to the fact that I've invited you into this thing. Let's bring you back to the fact that it's about me. I'm the one doing the work. And I love it because in this moment, Jesus literally invites them in. This is an impossible situation. How in the world? Five loaves of bread and two little fish gonna feed these people. See, it's not really about what you have. It's about what Jesus can do with what you have. It's not really about what you have. Let's look at this real quickly. A life of fulfillment found in Christ. How do we get there? Number one, give him what you have. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, wait, this is deja vu. Wait, this sounds a lot like a message I heard last Sunday. Some of you are like, I don't remember last Sunday. Some of you right now are thinking back like, oh, what was last Sunday's message? What was last Sunday's message? The worst is when I do that and I'm the one that preached it. Come on, somebody. The worst is when I'm preparing for the next Sunday. It's like, what did I preach last week? I better go back and look. I know what that's like. Give him what you have. Now, we talked about last week, Moses, what's that in your hand? Somebody like, oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a good message, Pastor. Yeah. Give him what you have. Now, I know that probably in the mind of the disciples, and even said it, like, hey, like, we have some loaves of bread and some fish, but what's that for 5,000 people? Well, just give it to him. Just give him what you have. I mean, here's the thing. I think sometimes when we come to Jesus and we experience his grace, we feel like we have to kind of come up with something to give back to him, like, and I know it maybe comes out of a good place, like, man, God, you've just saved me, and I feel the joy and the redemption and the cleanliness that comes, and man, it feels so good. You want to offer something back. Here's the thing. God isn't asking for you to go find something that you can offer it to him. All he wants is what you already have in your life right now. Just give him what you have. Give him the five loaves and the two fish. Okay. Pastor, I don't even have that. Okay, well, give him, you don't even have that, give him that. Give him that. I mean, in every area of your life, you have something to give to him. You have something. You have something. No, I mean, I don't. Well, yeah, you do. No, I'm broke. Give him your brokenness. I don't have anything in my bank account. Do you have a bank account? Yeah, well, give him the bank account. But it's got zeros. He can work with zeros. He created something out of nothing. He created the heavens and the earth. What does the Bible say? The earth was void and darkness covered it. And there it is. Beautiful. Pastor, I don't have anything. My marriage is on the rocks. Give him the marriage that's on the rocks. Give him that. Man, my health, it's horrible. I don't know. Give him your horrible health. Whatever you have, listen to me. The miracle didn't happen because they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. The miracle happened because they simply offered to him what they had. He invites them in. Here's the worst thing we could do when we come to God, when we're partnering with God. The worst thing we could do is give him nothing. Just give him where you're at. Man, I'm depressed. Give him your depression. I'm in despair. Give him your despair. I'm riding high. Man, I'm good. I don't need him. No, you do. Give him your riding high. Whatever you have, just give it to him. Give him what you have. Because it's not really about you and what you have. It's about what he'll do with what you have. Because here's the cool part. It says that he takes it. He blesses it. He breaks it. And then he gives it back to the disciples. Jesus himself does not go distribute it to the people. Why? He's inviting us in to be a part so that we can experience what a fulfilled life looks like. He takes it. Oh, this is what you got? There's some other ones here. Matthew, I think it's Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9. All tell the same story from a different perspective. And in each of those, it says, Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. You give them something. And they find this lunch this boy had, and they jack him. Give it to Jesus, and Jesus takes that. The Bible says he lifts it to heaven. He blesses it. He breaks it. Gives it back to the disciples. Now the disciples go and give it to the people. But they don't just give it to everybody. Number two, want to be a part of this fulfilled life. Number two, wait expectantly. Wait expectantly. Here's what Jesus said. He said, tell the people to sit down. Tell the people to sit down. Now, I love reading from the New Living Translation. That's the one this last year I've been preaching through that translation because I love the way it reads. But sometimes the New Living Translation will miss the full text. So if you're a studier and you like to study the Bible, it's nice to have other study tools, also in other translations, because John 6:11 reads this way. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. Now, why does it say then in the beginning, Jesus said, hey, tell them to sit down. And then it says in verse 11, it was distributed to those who were seated. It would tell me this, that there were some that weren't seated. Right? Why else would it mention that? So here it is. Jesus does this miracle. Now, here's the thing. Is a lot of people, there's some 5,000 plus people. That's just the men, the Bible says. We don't know how many thousands in total. Some say 12 or 13,000 were there. Now, they didn't have a mic like this. And so a lot of them might not even know what's taking place. All they know is they're getting served fish tacos. Come on, somebody. That's all they know. But the only ones, apparently, that got served were those that were seated. What does that tell me? The disciples probably got some people together, went throughout the crowd, said, hey, sit down, food's coming. Hey, sit down, food's coming. Hey, sit down, food's coming. But the only ones that got to be a part of it were the ones that were seated, the ones that were waiting, the ones that were a part of what was taking place. I'm teaching a class right now for our Bible college, and it's biblical counseling. It's all about counseling from a biblical perspective. And one of the things that I've been teaching our students is this, is that we've helped people out, whether it's with pastoral counseling from, you know, the pastoral staff, or whether it's we connect them with a counselor. We believe in biblical counseling, Christ-centered counseling. And I've had people come back to me and say this. They're like, man, the counseling didn't work. And my simple reply to them is this, is like, no, you didn't put in the work. Because here's what most people want. Most people want a handout. Most people, when they think about counseling, what they want is they want to go sit in front of this person and have this person fix their problems. It's getting quiet now. And I think if we're honest, I think that's probably a little bit at the heart of humanity. When we're in trouble, we want someone to come and rescue us. Right? I mean, think about how Hollywood makes so much money off their movies. Trouble, hero, rescued. But see, Jesus, he works that way when it comes to the point of salvation. But what you got to understand is that we're saved by grace through faith. That Jesus extends the grace. Jesus gives the grace. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and he extends it out there, but yet there still has to be response by the person. That's the faith aspect. But God gave us that faith so that we could respond, but not everyone does. And these people that go to counsel come back like, no, the counseling didn't work. And I'm like, you mean you didn't work the counseling? Because all it was tools given that you have to apply so that you can begin to, are you with me? Well, the miracle didn't work. I mean, they ate fish and bread, but not me. Well, that's because you weren't seated. How is it that you can be in the same, is this getting too real right now? Because it's getting really quiet. Moment ago, you were laughing and like, oh, that's a good point, Pastor. How is it that you can be in the same place and the same worship set and the same service, and the person next to you is just getting touched by the presence of God and you're not? Maybe it's not God's issue. Maybe you're not seated. Maybe the heart's not open. I was talking with my wife the other day. You know, in Scripture, the Bible calls us sheep. Us, me included. Did you know that? And if you just do a quick study on sheep, they're not necessarily the brightest animals. Don't get mad at me. It's the Bible. And so we had this conversation and we were talking, and I can't remember the exact question, but it's something about how come some people, man, can grab hold of the word and it applies to their life and it works, but then others don't. And I have this saying with some of my pastor's friends, and it's this, it's you can lead a sheep to water, but you can't make them drink. People could be up here sharing God's word, but we can't make you drink it, right? The people that got to be a part of the miracle were the people that were sitting down. Is someone with me today? Here's the awesome part. Is the people that got to be a part of the miracle, all they had to do was participate by sitting down. They weren't the ones that found and gave anything to Jesus. They were just willing to come in and say, hey, I want to be a part of that. And they sat down. I love that, because here again, God invites us into the whole entire thing. You might not have been the one of the disciples that brought it to him. You might not want to have been of the disciples that sat and watched this thing unfold. You might not want to have been one of the people that, oh, it's given back and now I get to go distribute it to the people. But you still get to be a part of the miracle. You still get to be part of the fulfilling life, because I'm doing my part. I'm coming in, and I'm saying, man, I want to be a part of that simply by sitting down. Is somebody with me today? They didn't see it unfold. Here at Canvas Church, listen, I believe with all my heart that God has called us here. That God called us here at the right time, in the right moment in history, called us to the right corner of Escondido, put us where we're supposed to be, is bringing the leaders and the people he's supposed to bring so that we can continue to do that which we're called to do. You say, Pastor, what is that? Man, this is a place of hope and healing for people. This is a place of hope and healing for people. It doesn't matter what's happened. It doesn't matter if it's Sunday morning. It doesn't matter if it's a small group. It doesn't matter if, man, young people are coming out for basketball on a Friday or a Saturday night. It doesn't matter if it's a trunk or treat on a Sunday night. It doesn't matter what it is. How are we a place of hope and healing for people? Simple, because we're going to continue to create environments for people to discover Jesus Christ, know the love of God, and realize the amazing purpose and plan and fulfilling life they have in him. That's it. Now, we're not all, you know, you've been here long enough, those have been coming, like, we're not, like, super flashy. Matter of fact, the more we try to do flashy, the more it backfires. It's so true. Like, we're not super flashy. I'll tell you what we do, though. We love our community. We love our people, starting right here within Canvas Church. Are we perfect at it? Absolutely not. But here's the one thing I know is the very thing that we believe God has called us to do, which is have relationship and build community, is the thing that the enemy is going to try to come against. But we're just going to keep moving forward, and we're going to keep loving and keep building community right here. Are you with me today? And I love it, because even those, they weren't necessarily a part of the big miracle that took place in Jesus. They sat, and they were there. And worship team, you can come up. Finish with this. I want to be a part of this fulfilling life. Jesus is inviting you in. Bring him what you have. Get involved. Pastor, what do you mean when you say get involved? Just keep showing up on Sunday. Just keep showing up to that small group. Just keep having conversation with the person next to you. Just keep moving forward in Jesus. Just keep going. Lastly, and I love this part of the story, everyone ate. And the Bible says they picked up what was left. It's like, well, I mean, Jesus doesn't waste anything. Matter of fact, he says, hey, I want you to go fill up the basket so nothing is wasted. I mean, Jesus just took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and broke it. And I don't know about you, but I wrestle with some of these things sometimes. I'm like, he did that, but he couldn't calculate, so it was the exact amount, so there'd be nothing left over. Like literally, I wrestle through those things sometimes. It's like, you're Jesus, you're the Son of God. You just took 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed nearly 13,000 people. And you couldn't calculate it right to make sure there was nothing left. And as I was wrestling with that, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, no, that's exactly what I wanted to do. He said, Ben, how many baskets were left over? 12? Ben, how many disciples were there? 12? No, I did exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted each disciple to walk away with a reminder of my grace. I wanted each disciple to walk away with a reminder of the miracle that I can do if people just give me what they have. I wanted them to remember the works that I'm not only doing for them, but I'm going to do across the whole entire planet for those who are willing to give them what they have, those that are willing to sit and be a part. It wasn't a mistake. The reason there was 12, listen, it says they filled up 12 baskets. Nothing was wasted. Each disciple gets to walk away with a reminder of God's goodness and God's grace. What about you? What about your life? Man, do we ever go back and remember how good God was? Listen to me. I'm continually reminding myself of those 9 weeks where our church raised $250,000. Because every time I go back there, it's a reminder that God says, Ben, if I did it then, I can do it again right now. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed had to beg bread. Man, the Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Are you with me today? There is nothing that God cannot do, and He invites us in to the impossible. He invites us in to those moments where it seems like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to make it? And it's in that moment where I believe God says, oh, I'm going to show you how we're going to do this together. When divine sovereignty collides with human responsibility, when God does collides with our faith, man, something supernatural begins to happen. Are you with me today? And He's inviting us in. And if you're a part of Canvas Church, He's inviting you in even right now once again to say, hey, this is home. We can do this as long as we're partnered with Him. Come on, we can see His grace extended outside of Escondido, into San Marcos, into Valley Center and Ramona, Rancho Bernardo, into Vista, that into Oceanside, and even all the way back into Mira Mesa where we used to meet in the theaters, that God's grace could extend. That He's inviting us into that. He wants us to be a part of that. Pastor, I don't know. I look around. Man, some of my friends aren't here anymore, and I don't know where they're at. Give it to Him. Pastor, I don't know, man. I used to serve in one service, and then I would attend another, and now we only got the one. I mean, can our church do that? Yeah, just give it to Him. He's inviting you back into that. He's inviting you back into what seems impossible with man is possible with God. If we just give it to Him, just give it to Him, just give it to Him. Listen, if you want to shake some more bridges, let's partner with Him. If you want to reach some more people for Jesus Christ, let's partner with Him. If you want to see His kingdom come and His will be done, let's partner with Him. Let's move from a life of impossible to a life of what's possible. Let's move from a life that seems unfulfilling into the most rewarding, fulfilling life you'll ever experience. And let's pick up, come on, let's pick up the card and let's partner with Holy Spirit and see what God can do. God, we love You and we thank You for Your word. Stand to your feet this morning. God, we love You and we thank You for Your word. God, we thank You that Your word is awesome. God, we thank You that, like, even as You tested Philip, You already knew what You were going to do. God, I believe that You're telling Canvas Church, I'm not done. It's only a test. It's only a moment in time. Pick up the 3x5 card. Hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and watch and see what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe, Lord God, that what we've walked through, God, You're bringing us back, Lord God, to a place of fulfillment. You're bringing us back to a place of purpose. You're bringing us back to a place of influence. That says, man, we're going to bring God's kingdom as it is in heaven, right here in our city, and see it extend. So God, we say today, God, let Your kingdom come. Let Your will be done. Hallelujah. With every eye closed. I feel there's some of you in here, and it's not a throwing in the towel, like throwing in the towel mentality. You're not wanting to call it quits necessarily on God and things like that, but you feel like, man, you've got to do something different in order to see God do what you think He's going to do. And I feel like the Holy Spirit just say today, like, you don't need to do anything different. You just got to keep giving Me what you have. What's this moment? What's this space? What's this time? What do you have right now? Just give it to Him. Just give it to Him. Just give it to Him. You know, this whole idea of, just keep your eyes closed for a moment, this whole idea of sitting down, it gets tested. It gets tested. You're going to experience some things at Canvas Church. You're like, man, I'm on board, let's go. And all of a sudden you're on board and let's go. And all of a sudden you're going to get tested. Someone's going to offend you. What? I don't think it's going to be intentional, but you're going to get offended. And in that moment, the real question is, are you going to continue to trust Him and stay seated in the place that He's called you to be? When offense arises, when a challenge arises, when the enemy comes, listen to me, it's going to happen in your marriage. I've worked with tons of marriages. She's not the same person I married 10 years ago. He's not the same person I married. Really? Like he's been abducted? What do you mean he's not the same? Well, he just doesn't love me the same way, and he doesn't do this, or she doesn't do that. It's like, hold on. Let's go back to that wedding day. Remember when you looked each other in the eyes, you said, for better, for worse, till death do us part? There's only one way out of this. And I wouldn't suggest you do that one. What happened to that? What happened to believing that God planted you in the right place at the right time for the right purpose? You say, God, man, this is awesome. This is where I'm planted. This is where I'm supposed to be. And all of a sudden, a challenge comes. What I'm trying to tell you is this. It's going to be tested. It's going to be tested. I mean, I've been sitting for a long time, and man, ain't nobody recognizing my gifts, so I'm about to stand. Just going to be tested. It's going to be tested. And I feel like there's some of you in here right now that you're getting antsy. And you're thinking, man, okay, I have to make something happen. That's the point where you need to relax and press in and say, no, I'm not asking God to partner with what I'm doing. In prayer, I'm surrendering myself to partner with what God's doing. And in that, you're going to find the most fulfilling, rewarding life you've ever had. So God, we just say yes and amen. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Hey, God bless you. If you need prayer for anything, I'm going to have some of the small group leaders up here, some of the pastors, come on up. And if you need prayer, maybe it's to relate with something that we just talked about this morning or something else that's going on. Maybe you need a miracle. I believe in those. We just read about one. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed thousands of people. Whatever you're going through, I believe in a God of miracles, and we can pray for you this morning. So come on up. Love to pray for you. God bless. Have an amazing...
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.